Series on great promises of the Old Testament, and we're going to finish with a message tonight about the promise of restoration. And it's a promise given specifically to the nation of Israel, but I believe there's things that we can apply to ourselves here tonight. Ezekiel, that's in the Old Testament, of course. If you look for the book of Daniel, it'll be right before that book, after Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. All right, so in that area of your Bible. Ezekiel chapter 34, and we're not going to stand tonight and have while I read. I'm just going to actually cover the verses as we come to them. But I do want to start with this thought. There are three, I believe, three indisputable facts about the Bible that I'd like to set forth. And there are more than this, but just three that I'd like to point out tonight. And really, the truth of it is that there is no religious or moral truth, that's the key word here, that has been written in any book that you don't find in the Bible. It's interesting, you know, every law that we have has a root in the Word of God. Even the holy books of the Quran and other holy books, you'll find many of those principles that were contained in the Word of God. Even, it's funny, if you look at the Quran or the Book of Mormon, you see how much was copied from the Bible into their books. Secondly, the Bible is the only book that can make us wise unto salvation through faith in Jesus Christ, as you see in 2 Timothy 3, verse 10. And thirdly, it is the only book that has the power to foretell the future, because in it, God has given us a full panorama. You guys know what a panoramic shot is? David, do you know what that kind of photograph is? A panoramic shot is the kind of shot where it's like you know, instead of being one picture, it's a bunch of pictures, and you can go and you can look all the way around. Like if you're on the top of a big building, a panoramic shot, you're able to view all around. Right? Sometimes they even go 360 degrees. So, the Bible gives us a panoramic view, a wide view, right, of what, of history, for all ages. And the Bible is unique. There's been many that have tried to disprove it, right? Have tried to mock it, who've gone and studied its prophecies, looking for any sort of inaccuracy or any sort of mistake. And there have been a number of stories where those skeptics, those scorners, have been converted to Christianity as they've tried to disprove the Word of God. It's ended up, they thought they could point out that it is a lie, but it ended up changing their lives for the better. All prophecy in the Scripture falls along three lines. Number one, prophecies which relate to the Lord Jesus, in which there are many. There are also, number two, prophecies that relate to the Jewish people, Israel, the nation of Israel, God's chosen people in the Old Testament. And then thirdly, there are prophecies that relate to the Gentile nations, such as ourselves. And so you find each of these prophecies contained in the Scripture. Now, in Ezekiel chapter 34, these are verses that, to me, undisputably point to a prophecy regarding the nation of Israel. When Israel is to be restored, when the Lord Jesus will come back and sit upon the throne of his father, the throne of David. But I believe there's significance in these words in regards to our salvation. And so, two simple points tonight. All right? I'm going to give those to you, and we'll go from there. Number one, the Lord speaks of himself as a shepherd and of his people as sheep. Go, if you would, Ezekiel 34, verse 11. It says, "For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock," verse 12, "in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day." Throughout the Bible, you see that metaphor used, right? God, Jesus, being the good shepherd, the great shepherd. In John chapter 10, we are told three things about sheep. Go there if you would with me. John chapter 10. Keep your finger there in Ezekiel. We're going to go back. But in John chapter 10, we're told three things about sheep. In Ezekiel 34, we also see the Bible says that the sheep are scattered. They are lost. They are not contained within the fold. In John chapter 10, verses 1 through 16. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but there's just a few things I want to point out here. You'll see that there are sheep that are lost. In verse 16 of John chapter 10, it says, "And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." I believe here Jesus is referring to the fact that the message of the gospel was not just for the Jewish people, but for all men, and that he knew that they were to be brought into the fold. They are lost sheep. Jesus says, "I will what? I will bring them. I will go find them. I will bring them into the fold." To be lost is really to be separated from and out of fellowship with God. You know, sadly today, and it's the case not just with the Jewish people, but with everyone, is that people are so separated from God, they are blind to the fact that Jesus is their Lord and Savior, that Jesus is their Messiah. Now we know God came, Jesus came first to the Jew, but then opened up a great door of salvation to the Gentiles. I love this scripture in Romans chapter 10, 10 through 13. Romans 10, 10 through 13. The Bible says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." For even now, there are many, and Jews especially then, thought that they were God's chosen people. And at one point they were. But understand this, salvation is for all. Isn't that a blessing? Both for the Jew and the Greek. God is no respecter of persons. You say, "Well, what about the end times, Pastor, where God is, you know, dealing with the Jewish nation?" That's God finishing what he started. Right? The covenant he made with Abraham, the covenant he made with the nation of Israel, that's what will be completed in the end times. God told them, right, that if you don't follow me, if as a nation, everyone in the nation does not follow me with all their heart, there's going to be judgment, and there will be judgment. He says, "But you know what? In the end, we'll make it all right." And that's what God does in the end. But we know this, the sheep are lost. God, of course, he first came to the Jews, but then opened that door of salvation to us as Gentiles. I love the fact that today Jesus is looking for lost sheep. He's not stopped. Right? He's not given up. He's always looking. He is a good shepherd. If he were like most of us, we would have given up a long time ago, wouldn't you? But Jesus hasn't stopped seeking. Jesus hasn't stopped searching. And if tonight you are lost, you are without God, Jesus is looking for you. I like that. He's not given up on you. He's not quit on you. You say, "Pastor, he has every reason to," and you are exactly right. As wicked as we are sometimes, but despite our wickedness, despite our lost condition, he is searching for we that are lost sheep. Number two, the sheep are scattered. If in John chapter 10, verses 12 and 16, we see that. It says, "But he," in verse 12, "that is a hireling and not the sheep, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep." Now again, this prophecy is talking about the Jewish people, and they certainly are scattered. You know, one of the great prophecies to be fulfilled in the return of our Lord Jesus Christ was the establishment of the Jewish nation, right? Which happened in the 1940s. We know that, right, was one major and great prophecy still yet to be fulfilled, and it has been. Now, they're still scattered, and they're still being brought together. They're still being moved around. They're still everywhere. And the truth of it is, they will not be brought together until they see Jesus as God's appointed king. And thirdly, the sheep are afflicted. Go back to our text, if you would, in Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34. We know that the sheep are weak. They are injured. They are beset by sin. They are in a time of, as it says there in chapter 34, verse 12, he says that they are scattered in the cloudy and dark day. In verse 16 of our text, Jesus says, I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken. What a cloud we live under without the Lord Jesus Christ. A cloud of sin, a cloud of shame, a cloud of guilt. Yet we have a Savior who desires to repair that, who desires to remove that cloud, that cloak of sin, to give us a new garment, and to take away from us the garments, the filthy garments of self-righteousness, the filthy garments of pride, and give us a new garment, white and clean, pure. Just like the nation of Israel is lost and is scattered and afflicted because they reject the Messiah, so is every lost person. What a terrible condition. You know, we ought to pity those who do not know Christ. We ought to pity those who are without the Savior. Because like you and I once were, they are. You and I once were lost. You and I once were without the Savior. You and I once were afflicted and lost and scattered, a sheep having no shepherd. They themselves are in that condition. Oh, if someone would only tell them the good news. There's one who seeks for you. There's one who looks for you. It is Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Let me give you the second point, and we'll be done tonight. All right? Number two, I want you to notice what the Good Shepherd promises to do for his sheep. Certainly in this context for the Jews in the future, but also now for every repentant sinner, here and now. Isn't that exciting? If you're without God, if you're not yet a Christian, there is a promise that God has for you, and let me give it to you. Number one, God says, I will what? Search, and I will seek. In verse 11 of chapter 34, the Bible says, For thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. Now, of course, in reference to the Jewish people, God says, you know what, I will go and find them and I will bring them back together. But I believe that applies to us as well. For the person that is not a Christian, he is seeking you. That the God of heaven and earth, the creator of all that you see, is concerned about you. He's looking for you. I like that. He's looking for me? Yes. He's seeking every lost sinner. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God doesn't want anyone to go to hell. I've had people ask, well, Pastor, how can a loving God send people to hell? God's not going to send anyone to hell. He didn't create hell for man. It's your choice. And in His great mercy and in His great love, I believe He gives every person, man, woman, and child, not just in this great nation, but in every nation around the world, an opportunity to seek Him if they will. You say, what about those tribes? What about those folks of the deepest, darkest jungles of South America or Africa? I'll tell you this, God has revealed Himself to them. And I know the Bible says if you seek Him, you'll find Him. I find it interesting you read stories, anecdotal stories of how missionaries have happened upon tribes that have never yet, and they understand the concept of God. in some way, somehow, God revealed himself to them. I have to think that God is, if he's God, he can certainly do that, can't he? Number two, in verse 12, we read what? That the Lord seeks to, the sheep in order to what? Rescue them, deliver them out of all the, from all the places that they have been scattered. There will be a day when it comes for the Jewish people that God will deliver them from their oppressors and he will judge them. He will judge the oppressors of the Jewish people. They'll meet their doom. The truth of it is for us, as those who are being sought by God, as those lost sheep who need a Savior, God promises to deliver us from the power of Satan, from the tyranny of sin. Sin is tyrannical, isn't it? It'll rule your life. It'll take over. I think about those, you know, we get critical of those people hooked on drugs. How'd that happen? It's sin, man. Addiction is tyrannical, isn't it? It'll rule you. That's just sin. And God says, I want to deliver you from that. Praise God he's delivered us from that. I've told you the story of how my own father was under the addictions of alcohol. And in becoming a Christian, how God delivered him from that stuff. He can deliver you. You say, oh, pastor, you don't know what I'm struggling with. He can deliver you. He can. Thirdly, look at verse 13 of our text. He says, and I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. Just before he died, the Lord Jesus looked over the city of Jerusalem. Right? And he said this in Matthew 23, if you want to just listen or you can turn there if you'd like. In Matthew 23, verse 37, Jesus said this about the city of Jerusalem. He said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her children or chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Jesus said, man, I came to reach you. I came to gather you together. I came to be your Messiah, but you rejected me. You rejected me. I came to make it right, to give you a spiritual kingdom, but you said, no thanks. What a wonderful thing. Listen to me, and I'm almost done. How wonderful is it that God desires? It's not about race. Isn't that a blessing? You know, this whole racism thing that's going on, that's by design. Satan, he loves to divide. He loves, right, doesn't he? God is no respecter of persons. He ain't. He don't care what color your skin is. White, brown, black, yellow. It don't matter to him. Nor as a Christian should it matter to you. He is not willing that any should perish. How isn't it wonderful that God, he'll save anybody and he'll unite them in Christian fellowship. I think of my dad's church, right? He's got that church in the inner city of Chicago. Man, I tell you, it's a lot of Hispanic folks, but you got some black folks there, some white folks there, some Polish folks. A lot of Polacks there on the south side of Chicago. Right? You got some old hillbillies from Central Illinois, my family. But boy, what beautiful fellowship there is. Isn't that amazing? All this garbage going on online about, you know, we hate white people, we hate black people, we hate whatever. That's of the devil. God's desire is to, and what people need. You know what? We don't need a president to unite us. Because that won't work, actually. You know that, right? Ain't no politician, ain't no... Because that's just the wickedness of man's heart. You know what will solve the racism problem? People coming to know God. That's the one thing that will change people's hearts. You're always going to have racists. Sad thing is, you got people who claim to be Christian and they're wicked racists too. That ain't of God. Find it. I mean, I lived in Texas for a while. Right? I've heard the so-called Christians make the comments about people of other color. Shame on them. Wicked. God desires to bring people together. Next, number four. Look at verses. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but as verses 13 through 15, he talks about the good pasture, the grazing land where the Lord will feed his sheep. This speaks to me of the satisfaction that can only be found in Christ. I talked this morning. You know, people are looking for an escape. And generally they'll find it, right? Well, I tell you, you know, politics aside, you know, our state has legalized pot. It's, you know, and to me it's sort of hypocritical, right? If you're going to have legalized liquor, you know, whatever. But you know what? Why do people go for that? I get there's medicinal purposes and stuff like that. But people just, what happens is they're seeking an escape. You know what? There is satisfaction to be found in Christ. There is satisfaction. Why do people go to the bottle? Why do people go to the drugs? Why do people go, right? They're looking for an escape. They're looking to satisfy something in their heart and soul that only God can satisfy, truly satisfy. Jesus is described in the book of Haggai as the desired one. The only one whom satisfaction can be found. When Israel looked at the Messiah, when Jesus came this first time, they looked on him. There was nothing desirable about him. He was not fancy. Well, you know what they were looking for? The Israelites were looking for someone kingly. They're looking for 6'6", you know, politician. But when they saw Jesus, he was just an ordinary, common-looking guy. Nothing special about him. Oh, did they fail to see that he provided, right, living water? Remember what Jesus said to the woman at the well? Yeah, remember? He said to the woman, if you knew who I was, you would ask for water from me. I would give you living water, and you will never, what? Thirst again. Jesus is the only one that can truly satisfy, can truly fill that void that all men feel. Let me give you this last thing. Look at verse 15. He says, I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. Again, talking about the Jewish people, God bringing them to a place of rest. They no longer have to wander. They no longer are scattered, but they have a place of their own. But I'll tell you this, what a blessing for those who will turn to Him, who will trust Him as the shepherd of their soul. There's rest. For the weary one, there is rest. For the one seeking satisfaction and contentment and escape in some substance, in Jesus there is rest, there is peace. People's lives are so messed up, aren't they? Sometimes of their own doing, sometimes of because of what people have done to them. Isn't it? I mean, I've met people, boy, they grew up in homes and families that just, you kids, you ought to be so grateful if you have a good mom and dad that love you. Homes where they were abused, they were, right? Terrible. That ain't their fault. But Jesus, He provides an answer. He wants to fix it. Not that our problems just immediately go away, but guess what? We got an answer. Isn't it good to have an answer? It's like being sick. You ever known someone who is sick and didn't know why? That's a terrible place to be, isn't it? I'd rather, if I'm sick, I just want to know why I'm sick. Tell me why. It may not be something you could fix, But it's good to know why. I have a coworker whose son is, you would think he's autistic, but he had these great seizures, so much full. He would have seizures, his son, 11, 12-year-old boy, and he's very, very disabled, you know, mentally and so forth. And he would literally have a seizure and just drop to the floor, and a couple times he broke his jaw, cracked his skull. And for 10 years, 11 years, they've been looking and asking, what's wrong? They hadn't known. And he told me just a few weeks ago, the doctors finally determined, his son has some genetic disorder that only one out of like 30 people have in all the world. He said, now there's nothing we can do about it. There's nothing we can do really. We know what's wrong, but now we know. My friend, when you come to know Jesus as your Savior, there's an answer for your problems. They may not get fixed right away. In fact, sometimes you struggle a little while with stuff. But there's an answer. You can lay down and rest. You know what the answer is. And Jesus provides that answer. What a wonderful shepherd he is. Amen? Is he your shepherd tonight? Kids, is he your shepherd? Are you saved? Ladies and gentlemen, is he your shepherd? He can be. He wants to be. He's looking for you. He's calling your name. Will you respond? He knocks at the heart door. Will you open? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I'd like to ask just a simple question, and I won't embarrass you, nor will I call your name out, but I would like to personally pray for you. Is there anyone here today, whether young or old, child or adult, that'd say, Pastor, I don't know that Jesus really is my shepherd. I don't know that if I died, that if I stood before God, he would let me into heaven, and I don't know that I'm really one of his children, and that troubles my heart. I would like you to pray for me. Would there be anyone today say, Pastor, pray for me. I don't know that I am truly a child of God. I don't know truly that heaven would be my home. Would there be anyone today? All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for a wonderful, wonderful night. Thank you for sending Jesus to be our shepherd. And he is a good shepherd, one that loves and cares and desires to, Lord, to be there for us. Thank you for salvation, that we who are sinners, we that have broken your law, who don't deserve heaven, have been given a chance to escape the punishment of hell. And it's all because of your love and sending your son to die on the cross to take our punishment for us. Thank you for giving us answers, giving us hope, so that, Lord, we can look to you, we can look to your son. I ask that you would bless if there's anyone here today that is not yet a Christian. I pray they'd understand what it means to be born again. And today would be the day of their salvation. Be with us as Christians, Lord. Help us to be so ever grateful for Jesus. And Lord, to know that the only reason we have anything, the only reason we are anything, is because of you. Help us to have the right heart attitude. Help us to be grateful. I ask that you bless us now as we go our separate ways. Bless our week. May we, if you tarry, may we honor you at work, at home, wherever we might be. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's be dismissed. We'll see you Wednesday for prayer meeting at 7 o'clock.